Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Under Florida's anti-SLAPP statute, the defendants have to show more than just the typical motion to dismiss. They have to first show that the complaint is completely without merit, and then they also have to show that the primary reason why the complaint was filed was to retaliate against the defendants for engaging in free speech rights in connection with a matter of public concern. The defendants cannot satisfy either of those criteria.
Yeah, I'm not sure that he's correct about that. This is Steve West. He's the assistant attorney for the for Escambia County, representing Jeff Burgosh and his commissioner, Jeff Burgosh, and his effort to claw back the text messages that are in the possession of Jonathan Owens and the Pensacola News Journal and claim to be in the possession of Alex Arduini. That was actually a point on which Steve was wrong yesterday. We'll talk about that in just a second. But, you know, the response here from these three defendants has been, not only does your case have no merit, this is the conversion and replevin cases and the text messages. We've talked about this many times. And not only does your case have no merit, but it so much doesn't have merit that it ought to be dismissed. That's what this hearing was about. And you ought to have to pay our attorney's fees because this is anti-SLAPP. And well, this is SLAPP action where you are trying to silence people who are your political opponents. You're using the mechanism of the attorney's office of the county and not even the senior attorney, Allison Rogers, but the assistant attorney, Steve West, in order to push a personal agenda. Because this is the defense's argument, is that, you know, there's no legitimate interest you have in these texts as a county. They are Jeff Burgosh's personal information, and therefore he should be pursuing this as an individual. They, you know, to the degree that they're county records or county business, then they're public and they're sunshine and transparent public records. So there's no reason to get them back. But anyway, Steve goes on to say,
the defendants have all admitted that they have the property. And the court received uncontroverted testimony at the last hearing to that effect as well.
Yeah, that's just false. And now it's true for Jonathan Owens and Gannett, P&J, is not true for Alex Arduini, which is what his lawyer, Eric Friday, pointed out.
Mr. West made a comment during his argument that all defendants have admitted to having possession having gotten possession of the text messages at issue. That is absolutely not the case. Mr. Arduini, if you recall, Your Honor, testified at the hearing on February 2nd that he never possessed any of these text messages. He had seen, I believe he may have said he's seen them at some point in somebody else's possession, but he never possessed them. He has never admitted to possessing them.
Yeah, so as a fact claim, that's just incorrect. Then they go through all of the, you know, the particulars of this case. Carol Locasero did all the heavy lifting on behalf of the three defendants, basically explaining that the county doesn't have any possessory interest in these texts, that replevin just doesn't apply to this sort of stuff. It applies to physical objects, not data like this. And in any case, that would typically, if they did involve information, it would be information that would involve like a business relationship or a contract dispute or a, you know, client lists or something like that that you might monetize. And so none of that applies in this particular case. There's no deprivation of use because the county already retains the records. So that doesn't really apply in terms of conversion. So kind of the replevin is bad law, the conversion is bad law. And by the way, as a news gathering agency, if they've come into possession of these texts, even if they were produced illegally to begin with, that doesn't matter.
And the case that's absolutely key here is Bartnicki versus Vopper that we've cited in our papers and discussed with the court before, 532 U.S. 514. That involved what the court recognized were initially illegally intercepted communications among school board members sent to a man named Yoakum, the head of a local organization opposed to the union's demands that involved a teacher's union. And then they went to Bopper, a radio host, and the court found that the First Amendment protects speech that discloses information that was lawfully obtained by the media, even if the information was obtained initially unlawfully by a third party.
Yeah, so the PNJ is as clear of this as you could possibly be. And she goes on to explain all the so many flaws in the case that Jeff Bergosh has, you know, basically contorted the county into representing on his behalf. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Traffic is brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. Got an accident on I-10 eastbound right before the Avalon exit, mile marker 21. No road blockage there, but we're still seeing some backups. Also on Davis Highway and... Davis Highway, Beverly Parkway. Still got that accident there, but the roadway's clear, but we're still seeing some backups there. That's a look at your traffic on the fives. I'm John Pickens.
Thanks so much, John. So if you are today maybe thinking about getting lunch, because, you know, it's Tuesday and now they're open. Pounders is closed on Sundays and Mondays, but oh my God, just such good Hawaiian food that if you go there, just trust me. Go there and try a couple of things. It's very affordable. They're located in the old Dickey's Barbecue location. It's right across from JCPenney and the Academy of Sports and on North Davis Highway, University Mall. But I'll just tell you, we've been going there for years at their location in Crestview. My boys love it. Like, I could not get them excited about anything the way I can get them excited about going to Pounders. They love this place. And we just went there for my older son's birthday the other day and loved it as always. They love the teriyaki steak and the chicken. I like the Kahlua pig, the macaroni salad, the white rice is all fantastic. Anyway, just go. They're not open Sunday, Monday. They get a break for 2 days a week. But the other days of the week, they're open. And again, they're open today. Pounders Hawaiian Grill. 8:17 on News Radio Pensacola. Back to this text message case where Jeff Bergosh has managed to convince the other board members to vote for letting the county attorney pursue action against Jonathan Owens, Alex Arduini, and the PNJ to get back these text messages that apparently are all over the place. And as Carol Locasero for Gannett explained, even if they were illegally begotten in the first place, that doesn't matter because they're in our possession legally according to court precedent. And now it's kind of crazy what the county wants to do. They want them back so they can sort them to decide what we're allowed to use as news gathering. I mean, it's weird.
What the county seems to want to do is be able to take back materials in the possession of a news organization, go through it and tell us what it deems is of public interest and what it does not deem to be a public interest that we can discuss. And that basically supplants the editorial judgment of the newspaper. And the United States Supreme Court has again said, you can't substitute government's editorial judgment for the editorial judgment of a paper.
Exactly. And so this is clearly a slap case, a strategic lawsuit against public participation. The county, particularly Commissioner Bergosh, is trying to punish the PNJ and Alex and Jonathan for being opposed to him and critical of him. You know, Jonathan ran against him, used to be Doug Underhill's chief of staff. Alex has been very critical of him online. And the PNJ, of course, is, you know, published some of these text messages in, you know, critical editorials or just what he perceives as unflattering news stories. And of course, you know, when back going to Andy Marlette, you know, he's had a longstanding grudge against the PNJ because Andy was critical of him. So anyway, this is, in my opinion, very much a slap case where he's using the mechanism of county political authority through the courts to try to silence political opponents or retribute, you know, payback against them for doing things that he doesn't like.
Cases primarily motivated because the Pensacola News Journal has exercised its constitutional right of free speech in connection with a public issue. Our news reporting was attached to the complaint, so that really shouldn't be in debate. We're here because we published information in our newspaper. And that's exactly what the anti-SLAPP statute finds is impacted.
So what should you do, Judge?
For all of those reasons, we would ask that the court grant the motion to dismiss with prejudice and grant our entitlement to fees under the anti-SLAPP statute.
Yeah, which is how I expect this to turn out in the end. I'm not a judge. I could be wrong, but that's how I expect this to go. I actually feel sorry for Steve West that he's put in this position of having to represent what looks to me like a very weak legal case on behalf of a board where the attorney, the senior attorney for the county, is not representing this. I have to assume that she assigned it to him. she's not involved in all of this. And I have supposed in the past that theoretically, if they get attorney's fees, if it winds up being a SLAPP case, they can get back attorney's fees like from the attorney personally becomes liable. So, this could wind up being really bad for Steve West if he loses. So then, Eric Friday, I told you the clip before, he's representing Alex Arduini. He says, look, he's wrong about the claim that we've admitted possession. The county has no possessive rights in these texts anymore.
The threat of criminal prosecution implied in the complaint in this case further demonstrates that this was the county's attempt to silence these defendants from speaking on this matter. This was a wrongful, meritless attempt to recover government officials' communications from Mr. Arduini as well as the others, whether they had copies of the messages or not.
And even regardless of the provenance, regardless of the origin of the things, if they were legally or illegally gained in the beginning, none of the defendants acquired them originally. They were provided to them by various sources. And in the case of Alex Arduini, he said he's never had it provided to him. But even if the material on those messages you're not supposed to have because it's, let's say, personal, okay? Like, it's not a public record. Something can still be of public interest even if it's not a public record, because personal records might still convey information that voters make decisions about fitness to hold office on.
Because some of the private messages may relate to Mr. Burgosh's fitness as a public official. Just like we, in court, when a witness is testifying, the witness's credibility is always at issue. So is a public official's suitability for public service, including any personal messages that might go to that point.
Adding on, Dennis Green, who represents Jonathan Owen, said, look, the county's theory basically here is that if you happen to possess them from whatever source, you're guilty of a crime. Like if the dump truck backed up and dumped some garbage on your lawn and happened to include a flash drive in it that had, like, you'd be guilty of a crime for simple possession. And he says, look, it's clear that Commissioner Burgosh is using this and using the county's mechanism or machinery here just to do something for him politically.
Here, you have a county commissioner that's using the office of the county attorney to go after a political vendetta against somebody who ran against them in a past election, that's turned over these documents to a plaintiff's attorney firm to use against the county, and I think it's very clear what's going on. The county, on one hand, wants to say, oh, no, this is not about the public records. This has nothing to do with anti-SLAPP. We're just here on behalf of Mr. Burgosh in his personal capacity, which is also a violation of Florida law.
Yeah, if he's using the county to do a favor for him personally for the messages he wants returned, then he's abusing his office. He's using it for personal gain. That's not allowed. That's a really bad violation of ethics, right?
Furthermore, Mr. Burgosh has made references in his own blog about the mounting cost of my client's legal expenses on his personal blog site ad nauseum. And I think it's very clear what's going on here, that the Escambia County Attorney's Office has been weaponized against these defendants to suppress them for their lawful use of that download, which is, there's communications between some of his big money donors, and while he's on the dais, going back and forth, talking about all kinds of public information like redistricting, so on and so forth.
So he says, moreover, when it comes to the question of the conversion of the ability to, get it back under, it's like a business theft, basically.
Even if the county had standing as an entity or an individual to go forward on the replevin, we're not dealing with trade secrets. We're not dealing with client lists. What are the damages? There's no damages, not even nominal.
Yeah, no, sorry, the replacement, not the conversion case. So we'll see. I mean, the judge is going to, you know, take it under advisement. He'll issue a ruling, and we'll find out whether it's going to be dismissed and or with prejudice and or grant the slap and or attorney's fees to be paid for the defendants by what? The county, I guess. You know, we'll see if that'll add up to the other, what, $9 million in failed legal expenses that the county has incurred over the last couple of years. 437-1620. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still dealing with this accident that happened on I-10 eastbound right before the Avalon exit on, say, mile marker 21 and a half right there. No road blockage, but we're seeing some slowdowns on I-10 eastbound around that area. Other than that, 110's flowing smoothly. Even 98 through Gulf Breeze is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle and trying to decide where to start looking for it, I recommend Frontier Motors. You know, I've been talking about them for years because we had such a good experience. A couple of years ago, we were just looking to get information to, like, you know your car is going to go. We had about 6 months left in the Grand Caravan, and we knew we'd need to replace it. So you shop ahead of time and know what you're going to buy that time. That way, when the time comes, you can look for the right deal. You don't have to actually be looking for the car. You're just looking for the best version of that car. Well, we couldn't find one to drive because of the, you know, how young it was as a model makeover for the Honda Odyssey. And it just was a complex set of factors that meant we called it our unicorn. We couldn't find one. We found one at Frontier. Happened to be the color we wanted. Happened to have 12,000 miles on it. Happened to be a pretty good price. And we asked them if they'd come down on the price. They said yes. We asked them if we could have a day to think about it. They said yes. We asked them if they'd come down on the price again. They said yes. We asked them if we could buy it. They said yes. Like, I mean, that was kind of the extent of the conversation. It was so easy, and they took care of us after the sale. Actually, a year later, our sales guy calls us. Is there anything I can fix? And I was like, one of the keys doesn't work. Bring it in on us. We'll take care of it. A year after we bought the car, because that's how they do business. Why? Because they want you so satisfied that you never go anywhere else. And, I mean, they got me. I can't imagine buying a car anywhere else. Frontier Motor.
Right. Babysitting is dangerous.
Good morning, 8:29 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Attorney General's Office of New Jersey is now looking into whether the conviction of former President Trump in New York should impact his golf courses in New Jersey and stop them from holding a liquor license. New Jersey law says a liquor license shall not be issued to anyone convicted of a crime involving what they call turpitude.
No guns, no liquor license. What's the world coming to?
I don't know. And Apple is bringing AI to their products. They made the announcement yesterday. They say they want to use generative AI that already exists, but personalize it for Apple users. And they say they want to make it intuitive and easy to use.
I will tell you this, the photo AI on the Samsung Galaxy S24 is ridiculous.
Up today on Wall Street. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio Pensacola. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 80 degrees already this morning in Pensacola. In a bit of a surprise yesterday, Santa Rosa County leaders unanimously supported approving that lease extension with Juana's Pagodas in Navarre.
As business increases, as more people come to visit Santa Rosa County and our beaches, and as our population continues to grow, I'm sure their business will continue to thrive. They've got a long track record of how they run their business, and they do it quite efficiently. And I think the revenues will continue to increase to the county if we stay at the same rate.
Commissioner Colton Wright there, and there was some discussion on whether that lease should be changed to require Juana's to pay 5% of net profit rather than gross. However, the board ultimately agreed to keep that agreement the same and extend it through 2025 on Thursday. Last month, Commissioner Calkins had suggested bringing some other ideas to the table, including allowing other businesses to submit proposals with more money being paid to the county. But yesterday, he said he'd changed his mind and was now supporting Juana's after he'd met with their leadership. Governor DeSantis says a record $1.25 billion is going to be included for teacher salary increases in the new budget for the next fiscal year.
Since 2020, we've invested over $3 billion in teacher pay initiatives. The average minimum teacher salary is over $48,000. So that's up from about $39,000 5 years ago.
And he says that would be an increase of nearly $250 million over the current budget. He also says since 2020, teacher pay has gone up throughout the state by $4.6 billion. The money included for this fiscal year budget can only be used to boost salaries for teachers. And the governor says the average minimum teacher pay in Florida is now $48,000. Yeah, the international shark attack file in Gainesville says it was probably a bull shark that was responsible for those terrifying encounters last Friday in Walton County. Dr. Gavin Naylor had this message for people who may be afraid to go into the water now.
The sharks are there all the time. They're not anything that we need to worry about. We only need to worry about them when they are feeding and they start feeding very close into shore. And that happens when the bait fish are close into shore.
And during those attacks, a 45-year-old woman lost her lower left arm in another attack a few miles away involving some teenage girls. One victim lost a hand and part of a leg. Dr. Naylor says it's a good idea to head to dry land when you see bait fish in the water. And the state of Florida currently has about 20,000 unsolved homicides on the books, some of those dating back decades. Attorney General Ashley Moody is now launching a new tool that they're hoping will lead to some answers, playing cards, each with information about an unsolved homicide. They'll be distributed in jails and prisons around the state.
Perpetrators of long gone cold cases often think they've gotten away with it. And I hope today is a reminder to them that they should never feel safe. They should never feel free because we will continue to pursue them.
And those cards contain information on homicides dating back to 1979. It's 8:35 at News Radio, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Discover. Discover wants everyone to feel special with live 24/7 customer service. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Still dealing with that accident that happened on I-10 eastbound right before the Avalon exit, exit 22. They're in the clearing stages of that one, but still seeing some delays. Other than that, 110, 98 are flowing very smoothly right now. That's a look at your traffic on the fives. I'm John Pickens.
We will have a beautiful sunny day today with mostly sunny skies, high near 92 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 72. As we go into Wednesday, beautiful sunny weather continues, high near 91. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 75 degrees. For Thursday, 30% chance of rain and a high near 92. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather.
Right now, it's 80 in Pensacola, 78 in Gulf Breeze, 77 in Milton. Your money now this morning. Our markets are down at the opening bell. The Dow is down 279 points at 38,588. The S&P down 20 points at 53,40. And the NASDAQ down 14 points at 17,177 this morning. Your 10-year bond rate down just a bit at 4.44%. Gold prices up 350 at 23,350. Silver prices down 50 cents at 29.37, and Bitcoin down over 2,500 this morning at 67,032. Former President Trump says if he makes it back to the White House, he'll end taxes on tips. He was at a rally in Las Vegas over the weekend where he said the economy relies heavily on tips and getting rid of tip taxes would be his first priority. UAW President Sean Fain is now under investigation for allegations he abused his power as union president. A watchdog appointed by a federal court now looking into Fain and whether the union is obstructing the investigation. There's a new survey comparing 180 different cities to rank the best places for a budget-friendly vacation this summer. Wallet Hub found 82% of Americans planning to travel over the next couple months, but with high costs, a lot of people are cutting back and taking less extravagant trips. Well, to determine the best places for a wallet-friendly vacation, they looked at everything from parks and museums to restaurant costs. The top 10 best cities for a vacation this year included a few options not that far away, Tampa and Orlando both making the list, as did New Orleans and Atlanta. Other destinations on the top 10 included Chicago, San Diego, Honolulu, Tucson, Arizona, and Cincinnati.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, it is National Corn on the Cob Day. That is the day where we all get to enjoy the juicy, wonderful goodness that is corn on the cob when it's ripe and properly cooked. So this leads me to my question. I actually have two different questions, okay? And I'm gonna play mix and match today. I don't mind because we're just gonna have a little bit of fun. Question number one: what's the right way to cook corn on the cob? And question number two: this is not hard to figure out. What's the next question gonna be? What's the right way to
eat it?
Eat corn on the cob. There you go. 437-1620. Feel free to weigh in. 437-1620. Right way to cook. Right way to eat. And subcategory. In your right way to cook, if you're a boiler, are you a salt boiler or a no-salt boiler? Got to be specific with me. Don't just tell me to boil, because a lot of controversy within the boiler community over corn on the cob. Let's get John in here, 437-1620. John, first question, what's the right way to cook corn on the cob?
I would say grilled.
Grilled is good.
I love grilled.
Do you butter when you grill?
Yes.
Butter before you grill?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, until it's nice and slightly blackened on the outside.
Just slightly.
There's a special extra good flavor about grilled corn. It's just inconvenient to do.
Right.
But, yeah, if you have the ability, I recommend it. And to eat corn on the cob?
Oh, you just pick it up and eat it.
No.
No, you got to stick the little corn cob thingies in there?
No, you misunderstand the nature of this question.
Uh-oh.
Typewriter or roller? Do you eat straight across a row and then go back like a cling and then typewriter it? Or do you roll around and gradually have expanding circles down the corn on the cob so that when you're halfway done, the west half is barren and the east half is yet to be harvested?
Yeah, I'm definitely a roller.
Okay. All right. You're weird. That's fine.
I guarantee you
that
one.
That's fine. All right. Fair enough. 437-1620. We now go to our in-house expert, our fellow Midwesterner, our Iowa corn farmland boy, David Wayne.
Well, finally, you're speaking about a topic I know about.
And it's not rare mushrooms or anything, but, you know, what's the right way to grill or to cook or to, I mean, or to, what's the right way to cook the corn?
Well, I come from a long line of corn boilers.
There you go. I love it.
Yep.
All right, and?
A little bit of salt, just a little bit.
Oh.
Not a lot, just
a
little.
Have you ever tried it without?
Well, maybe if I ran out of salt.
The problem is that salting the corn water makes the corn a little tougher.
I don't know. I've never encountered that issue.
I'm just telling you, you should maybe try it without salt next time and see what happens. You put anything else in your water?
No.
No sugar?
No.
No lemon juice?
No.
Welcome to the big time.
We ain't got that fancy stuff in the Midwest.
Lemon juice and sugar, my friend. That's your friend. All right. And then how do you eat your corn on the cob?
I am the typewriter.
Typewriter.
Yep.
Normal.
Normal. West to east.
Yeah, you're
one row at a time.
That's not normal.
You're corno divergent over here, John.
Well,
you're
left-handed
neurodivergent.
Too.
You're corno divergent. You know, a roller is weird, if you ask me. But yeah, typewriter style is the natural way. Why? Because, you know, typewriters, obviously.
Oh.
And you can see your work. And you can select your size. You know, it's three rows at a time, and then you know your next three rows. It's very organized. It's neat. It's simple.
Okay. That's all I got for you on that one.
437. Okay. I'm not even getting into how you butter your corn. How do you butter your corn?
Little baster. But see, we baster. Put...
Really?
We,
like
yeah.
a brush?
But listen to me,
which you then have to clean?
But listen to me, though.
I'm hearing you.
You've got garlic in there and Parmesan, and you baste that on your corn. It's a West Coast style that I just came across.
I hear the words you're saying. I recognize that they're English, but yeah. I don't know why you'd ruin good corn that way. So.
Certainly not how
really
I do.
It's really good. Yeah. You need to try that. Mm. Garlic and Parmesan.
One of those little wiry brushes, the little yellow straw-looking ones, or the flexi rubber ones
like you'd base for rubber ones.
Okay, like you'd do for a barbecue. All right. By the way, the answer on that is also no. You take the stick and you just put the stick down on whatever the container is and you just rub the corn across the stick and make an indent.
Oh. Just roll it.
Yeah.
Just roll it right
That's
in
how
there.
You know
you get
you've
the corn
had corn
indent.
Recently is there's yeah. a there's a round indentation in the butter.
You know, my mama would have slapped me. She'd have been like, are you kidding me? That's the whole thing of butter.
4, 3, 7, 16, 24.
Well, if done right, there won't be any left.
That's right. Yeah.
True.
What do you mean there's butter remaining? I don't understand these words at all. All right. How do you cook your corn? How do you eat your corn? Somebody says, on the grill, roll it in butter, cover in Parmesan cheese, and sprinkle with paprika.
Bingo. Oh. Bingo. Didn't I just say that?
Well, you didn't say paprika.
No, I want garlic. Garlic's better.
Oh, my God. You people. I mean, maybe some pepper, maybe. Paprika just makes everything worse. I mean, it makes it pretty, but it makes it taste worse. It's like you people who put your paprika on your deviled eggs because you didn't make your deviled eggs right to begin with. 4, 3, 7, 16, 20. Boil it is the best way, but to eat it is on the cob, and I have found out that using golf tees inserted at both ends make great handles when you're eating corn on the cob.
I never thought of that.
Interesting. We have the little corn holders because I had
kids.
Yeah,
I do too.
I don't use them because I'm an adult, but the one thing I will say about that worries me about the golf tees is you've got no turn resistance in the golf tee. It's going to spin too easily in your hand, and you're going to get a cramp trying to hold onto the golf tee real tight. The advantage of the little golf, of the little corn prongs is they have two prongs, so they hold it real well.
Right.
So I cannot go with you in the golf tees. It's clever. It sounds nice to begin with, but unless you're going to hang your corn up in the paper towel roll and pull it off one piece at a time, I don't think that's going to work for me. 4, 3, 7, 16, 20. John's got traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still dealing with that accident that happened on I-10 eastbound right before the Avalon exit. Just seeing some minor slowdowns now, but they're getting that out of the way. Good news on that. I-110 is flowing smoothly along with 98 in Gulf Breeze. That's a look at your traffic on the fives. I'm John Biggins.
All right. Thanks so much, John. Hey, if you're thinking about getting that next home or selling a home or both, you know, it can be both. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. How's the market doing? What's the market doing now? What are the interest rates doing? What are they going to do? What is summer versus not during summer for school? What does change of station for the military mean? I don't know. Don't ask me. I talk on the radio for a living. Christina Leavenworth sells homes for a living, and she's really good at it. 175 homes last year. She knows all the answers to all of these questions, and she knows the better questions that you might not think to ask that might make a difference for you 5 years from now after you bought the home that you might not realize. That's why you ask them now. She will help you ask even better questions. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. Back to the question of the day for our frivolous topic, which is how do you cook your corn? How do you eat your corn? 437-1620. Not so easy once you realize there's nuance, as there always is. Let's see. Somebody here says, I'd say the right way to eat it is with your mouth. Thank you for the specificity. Somebody here says, salt, boil corn on the cob. On the grill, you must wrap it in aluminum foil with lots of butter, but you must eat it like a typewriter. Thank you for the typewriter. I've never grilled corn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a close to it.
I grill it in a smoker.
I usually don't have enough space on the grill because I have a small grill. I just use a little Smoky Joe. So I'm interested. I'm willing. I'm open. Throw them on the grill, husk and all. The husk burns off. Typewriter is the only acceptable way to eat corn. Correct. 4, 3, 7, 16, 20. You know what I fear, though, is I fear that somebody under the age of 35 doesn't know what we mean when we say typewriter style.
Right.
Oh, just... is you eat the rows across and roll the cob and eat another row across versus basically opening up your mouth and buck tooth approaching it and just kind of scraping it off with your teeth as you roll the corn into it. Now, there is a third method.
What is it?
No adult uses this. People with braces use it all the time, which is hold it vertically and scrape it off with a knife.
Right.
Be an adult. Unless you have adult braces. In which case, that's fine. 4, 3, 7, 16, 20. Somebody here says you steam it and you roll or eat it. Somebody says no salt. Southern way is to boil with sugar. Yes, boil with sugar. Betty Crocker taught me that, and I will never go back. Eat with sweet wild abandon. Sugar and lemon juice in the water. Somebody here says microwave it in wet paper towel for 2 minutes. Try it. But see, I always feel like then if it ruins it, then I've wasted my corn, you know? Eat it row by row, rotating over the top. Oh, that's a good question. Do you rotate down or over the top? I'm a down rotator. I'm in a rotator like it's rolling from bottom to top. So I'm rotating it the way you would a roller in a typewriter, which, again, under 35 won't understand. 4, 3, 7, 16, 20. Let's see. Cooler corn. I don't know what that means. Boil with salted water. Pour it over the corn in the cooler. Boil salted water, pour it over the corn in the cooler, fill the cooler with the boiling water, it's done in 10 minutes. Huh. All right. Okay. I can see that. I hate it stuck in my teeth. No, we all do. My method is cold water, raise it to a boil 2 minutes, and then let it sit. But, you know, there's a lot of different ways to boil. Don't overboil it. You will get nasty corn. I was born in Iowa. I love grilled, but I rarely do it. Roller with random bites, which makes my husband crazy. Oh, I should do that one time just to look like I'm on the methamphetamines or something. You know, just randomly bite
you
pieces
should.
Here and there. And my wife would start looking at me, you know.
Uh-huh.
It would be an interesting conversation. Heavily butter a piece of bread. Roll the corn in the bread with the butter. No, I've heard of this before.
Oh.
That's smart. That avoids a lot of heat issues you got. To remove the corn, cut at the base and the whole cob slips out without silk. Oh, that's, sorry, there was a microwave of the corn in the husk for 5 minutes. Steam it, it's perfect. Add butter and Tony Kacheri's. Oh, no, yeah, I could see that. I think that's how you say that. The little green white shaker with the Cajun spice in it. Low country boil is the exception. Do not overseason the water. That's fair. Let's see. You're talking about Iowa and corn on the cob. Now I'm wanting corn on the cob and a pork tenderloin sandwich.
That really does sound good.
You're welcome. Listening to old guys on the radio talk about hand cramping while holding corn. What has happened to my life? welcome aboard, son. slice the kernels off the cob and fry them in real butter, salt, and pepper. Oh, so
Ooh.
You take them off ahead of time and then cook them separate. Interesting. Grill or roast in the husk. Husk and silk removed easily. Slice of buttered bread to wrap, and then typewriter, of course. Let's see. What does that mean? I don't know. I can't read that one. Typewriter style. Do you eat it left or right? Oh, left to right, like a normal
yes.
person. I mean, it's not Japan or, you know, Saudi Arabia, where they write from the right to left. Somebody says, I eat corn like a raccoon and take a bite wherever I want. I like that. I'm going to try it just to be different, to be difficult. Microwave in the husk, and one last, I boil it in water with sugar and paprika or Tony Kacheri seasoning. All right, there you go. So some people are with you, John.
Right, that's good.
Some people are normal. 4, 3, 7, 16, 20, it's fair enough. So that's our frivolous topic for the day. Go forth and corn a bunch, because corn is really good. It does make me miss corn festivals in the Midwest.
That sounds good, though.
University of Illinois, every year, middle of corn land. We actually have a song at the U of I about corn. Did you know that?
No.
We have the, I can't believe I'm going to tell this story. The University of Illinois has the Morrill Plot, which is the oldest experimental corn farm field in the United States.
Okay.
And it's actually so important that when we were building a library, they decided to build the library underground so as to not disturb the corn plots. So the corn plots are basically on top of the library, which is an underground library. Yeah, it's amazing. And we have a whole song. It's, no, sir, we don't mess around. Our library is underground because you can't throw shade on the corn. All right, I'm done here. 4-3. No, you can't throw shade on the corn. It'll die as sure as you're born. No, sir, we don't mess around. Our library's underground. No, you can't throw shade on the corn. And all my Illini graduates said, ILL.
Ill?
Oh, John. Speaking of colleges and perhaps ones that have better songs, Pensacola State College is a fantastic place to go to school. Our two boys, and we'll have a third one going there pretty soon, but we had two boys go there for a year and a half. Well, they went there for 3 years. They came out with high school diploma because it's dual enrollment, so that's for free. Books are free. College courses are free. And then they went to university with a year and a half credit. So they went as sophomores and a half, which means that they get done sooner. And it was a great experience. Like, the teachers are teachers instead of being researchers who also teach. They have a lot of class schedule selections, so you can really pick and work around your availability. We did it for dual enrollment, but a lot of people do it because they're non-traditional students, you know, picking up a second career or something. I mean, they're just... PSC was great for us. Really, really a great resource for our family. Campuses in Pensacola, Warrington, Milton Century, South Santa Rosa Center, downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at pensacolastate.edu.
It's hurricane season, and when a storm threatens our region, News Radio Pensacola has complete around-the-clock coverage you can count on. Our award-winning news team will be tracking the storm's every move, providing regular updates on the storm's path, intensity, and potential impacts. You can listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
This hurricane information is brought to you by DeFranco Gas. Get your home or business storm ready. Install or maintain your generator with DeFranco Gas. DeFranco Gas does all things gas.
At Pinnair Credit Union, we know that road trips don't start by driving into the sunset. A day at the beach doesn't begin with packing the car. Even car shopping doesn't really start at the dealership. Your new car journey begins with an auto loan pre-approval from Pinnair Credit Union, because at Pinnair, auto financing is easy. And when you get pre-approval before you shop, you'll be ready to hit the road when you find the perfect car. Get started at pinnair.org/carloan. Whether it's new, used, or refinanced, vehicle loans from Pinnair Credit Union fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
When you use Bounce dryer sheets and your clothes look amazing, it's the sheet. Less static in your life? Yeah, it's the sheet. Smelling fresher than ever? It's the sheet. Oh, so soft fabric? Ooh la la. It's the sheet. Less wrinkles on your clothes? You know it's the sheet. Bounce dryer sheets. More freshness, more softness. Less static, less wrinkles. It's the sheet.
Wrap up your day with all of the national, state, local sports and entertainment news with Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin on News Radio 92.3.
We must remember there are many more important things. Many more important things. Offhand, I can't think of what they are, but I'm sure there must be something.
Great 80s medium quality song. But, you know, Wang Chung, man, that's the other song. That's the one that you don't hear as much anymore. 8:55 here on News Radio Pensacola. John Pickens has got our traffic on the fives. John?
All right, still watching that accident that happened on I-10 eastbound right before Avalon. Again, it's in the clearing stage, but we're still seeing delays happening all the way back to the Scambit Bay Bridge. Other than that, 110 looking good, 98 looking good, even Highway 90 seeing a little construction delay there heading into Pace northbound. I'm John Pickens with a look at traffic on the fives. I was like, go. Oh,
are you that's done? Me. Where are we at here?
That's me.
I love it. 437-1620. Oh, this is a really, like, this is a genuinely concerning story that is apparently not new. Because I checked with a pilot friend of mine to see, you know, is this really something that happens? And apparently the answer is not only does it happen, but it happens a lot. It's been happening for a long time. So I say this trying to sound not as racist as it's going to sound, but I'm going to say it anyway. As a nation, when it comes to international affairs, China's a bunch of big fat thieves. There's no other way to say that nicely. They steal technology, they steal business secrets and practices, they infiltrate our universities and steal things. It's just all over the place. And a category that I had not been aware of is that China is actively working to recruit American military pilots, as well as NATO ally aviators, because we know how to do this well. And they do not. And if you know that, like, our F-35 versus their knockoff F-35, you know, they can steal the shape and some of the insides, but they can't still get it right, really. But still, okay. And they're trying to steal naval aviators and Air Force aviators and try to get them to. And so the China's People's Liberation Army has been aggressively recruiting Western military talent to train their aviators. And they do it covertly, surreptitiously. They don't come out and say, hey, dear former F-18 pilot, would you like to come train China's aviators? Because the answer is going to be no. What they'll do is they put up front companies and they use private firms around the globe to conceal the Chinese ties. And then they offer extraordinary salaries in an effort to sort of make them not ask too many questions, you know. But private companies located in South Africa, for example, are working to hire former fighter pilots from a variety of Western nations to gain insight into their methods and skills because, you know, we know how to do this really well, right? So most targeted jobs are military pilots, flight engineers, and air operations center personnel. U.S. officials have responded by putting commercial restrictions on several companies, including the Test Flying Academy of South Africa, the Beijing China Aviation Technology Company, Stratos, and more. Anyway, so just be aware that that's happening. And like I said, I checked with a pilot buddy of mine, and he's like, oh, Andrew, for years, this has been going on for years, years and years. They've been, always reaching out and trying to find us and, you know, decoy us and get us. John, this is familiar to you? Yeah, so you put your mic up. There we go.
Yes, it is.
Because you're a pilot. Right. So
I play one on TV.
Well, not a military pilot, but still, you know the community.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, you just kind of got to be, I guess, on guard. I guess I got to be worried that the Chinese are going to try to steal my talk radio secrets from me.
Oh.
Maybe I don't need to worry about that as much. Not because it's not worth stealing, but because what would they do with it in a controlled society like that?
Local Talk in the Morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.